Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word Radio Program. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. We're going to continue today for the third day here with some more teachings on the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we're going to start off today with a little bit of some of the sayings of Brigham Young. Most people have heard of Brigham Young. He was the second prophet of the Mormon Church. There's a university out in Utah, you know, named after him and everything. Very well known, very, very well known person. He's the one who led them from, I believe that's correct, he's the one who led the Mormons from Nauvoo, Illinois, across the frozen Mississippi River in the wintertime and headed west. Brigham Young, I guess the most amazing thing about the way they set this up is once you become the president of the Mormon Church, the prophet per se, everything you say is supposedly God's word. That's just amazing, but that's how it works. So here's a little bit about what Brigham had to say so we can get some ideas of what they say. He says, I have never yet preached a sermon. Actually, he said, I said that wrong. I have never yet preached a sertion, which I guess is sermon, and sent it out to the children of men that they may not call scripture. So everything he says that he has sent out to these people is scripture. Let me have the privilege of correcting a sermon, and it is as good as scripture. That's just amazing, isn't it? That's from the Journal of Discourses, volume 13, page 95. So what he's saying is everything he says is the gospel. And if somebody said something, give him the privilege of correcting that, and that'll become the gospel also. He also said, I say, rather than the apostates should flourish here, I will unsheath my Bowie knife and conquer or die. And there was evidently, according to this testimony, there was a great commotion in the congregation and a simultaneous burst of feeling ascending to the declaration. He says, now you nasty apostates, clear out or judgment will be put on the line. If you say it is right, raise your hands. And all hands went up. Let us call upon the Lord to assist us in this and every good work. So I guess he was, you know, some people in there he didn't like, he's going to run them out, I suppose. He also said, I could refer you to plenty of instances where men have been righteously slain in order to atone for their sins. This is loving our neighbor as ourselves. If he needs help, help him. And if he wants salvation and it is necessary to spill his blood on the earth in order that he may be saved, spill it. Excuse me. Many were killed under what is, in case, you know, I guess this is for those that don't know. Many, many people were actually killed under what is called the Blood Atonement Doctrine. Leaving Mormonism was one of the sins that the blood of Jesus could not atone for. And the person's own blood must be shed by Mormon priest as an atonement for sin. So, that's, again, he's saying, this is loving our neighbor as ourselves. If he needs help, help him. And if he wants salvation, and it is necessary to spill his blood on the earth in order that he may be saved, spill it. Journal of Discourses, volume 4, page 220. He also said, I intend to meet them on their own grounds, and if any miserable scoundrel comes here, cut their throats. And actually, for historical knowledge here, they actually obeyed him because a wagon train of innocent men, women, and children were massacred at Mountain Meadows under the orders of Brigham Young. They were passing through Utah, and Brigham thought they were from Illinois where Joseph Smith had been killed. Many more were atoned. I just don't
understand it.
I would have a hard time listening to a preacher tell me that, if the guy needs salvation, I'm going to go ahead and kill him and get him saved. That makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. He also said, gold and silver grow, and so does every other kind of metal. the same as a hair upon my head or the wheat in the field. Don't know what that's about. Journal of Discourse, Volume 1, page 219. He said, who can tell us of the inhabitants of this little planet that shines of an evening called the moon? So it is with regard to the inhabitants of the sun. Do you not think it is inhabited? Well, I rather think it is. Do you think there is any life there? No question of it. It was not made in vain. That's a Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 219 also. Of course it wasn't made in vain. The sun and the moon have a purpose. But there's certainly nobody living on the sun, folks. Crispy critters, I guarantee you. Just not happening. He also said, do you think we shall ever be admitted as a state into the Union without denying the principle of polygamy? If we are not admitted until then, we shall never be admitted. That was Joseph Smith saying that polygamy was a good thing, and that was in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 269. He believed in polygamy, many wives as he wanted. But what happened was, actually, the Edmonds Act was passed in 1882, forbidding polygamy in the territory, and only then was Utah allowed to enter the Union. Up until that time, Utah could not become part of the Union because they had this polygamy thing going on and it wasn't allowed. And at that point, the LDS Church officially gave up polygamy. Another false prophecy from the Mormon prophet, folks. Here's how you can see, this is a prime example of how they change their beliefs and their scripture to fit the times and the things that they need to change with. The government would not allow Utah to become a part of the territory until they outlawed polygamy. So there was a thing called the Edmonds Act, which outlawed it. It forbid, in 1882, it forbid polygamy in the territory of Utah. And only then, after that act was passed, was Utah allowed to enter the Union. So, and then once they entered the Union, the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they changed their official beliefs and doctrines to give up polygamy so that they could become part of the Union. Do you think Jesus Christ, do you think God the Father wants us to give up our beliefs in what He's told us and taught us for something here on this little old planet Earth? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I know not. Folks, you got to follow the Bible. That's what happens when you follow men. They get up and say whatever they need to say to fit their needs. But the Bible's not that way. Jesus isn't that way. Joseph Smith also said, I think these preliminaries will satisfy me, and I feel prepared to take my text. It is the words of Jesus Christ, but where they are in the Bible, I cannot tell you now, for I have not taken pains to look at them. I have had so much to do that I have not read the Bible for many years. I used to read and study it, but did not understand the spirit and meaning of it. Wowzers. That's an 1854 conference discourse in October 8th of 1854. Evidently Brigham Young, he obviously did not understand the Bible. And, sad to say, neither probably do any of the other Mormon prophets, or they would understand that they were speaking blasphemous words. I don't know for sure where the Mormon Church is going. I don't know what's going to become of what's happening. I do know this. The Mormon Church is growing huge. It's grown exponentially over the years. And a lot of that is attributed to the lifestyle of what they believe. They still believe Joseph Smith is the prophet, the main prophet that they follow. That's just how they believe. But sad to say, that Joseph Smith is phony. He made many prophecies, folks, that just did not come true. He predicted his prophecy back in 1833 and May of 1944, he prophesied the destruction of the United States in preparation for the return of the lost tribes And if the wrongs committed against the Mormons were unpunished, the United States would be destroyed. Well, it didn't happen. At another time, Joseph Smith said the government had to, you know, receive to give them money and that type of thing and all that. You know, that didn't happen. He also said that some of the first apostles would not die. He stated in a meeting that had been called, he said the meeting had been called because God had commanded it. And it was the will of God that those who went to Zion with a determination to lay down their lives, if necessary, should be ordained to the ministry and go forth to prune the vineyard for the last time, or the coming of the Lord, which was nigh. Even 56 years should wind up the scene. That's what he prophesied back in History of the Church 2. The Lord should arrive by February 16, 1891. He said, well, it didn't happen. At the same meeting on February 14, 15, 1835, 12 apostles were named and 9 men were ordained and given blessings. Heber Kimball was one of the 9 men ordained by Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris. These were the 3 guys who allegedly saw the gold plates that Joseph used to transcribe the Book of Mormon. These guys really related how those ordained then had hands laid upon them by the first presidency, Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon, and Frederick Williams to confirm the blessings and ordinations they had previously received. 3 of these blessings were the blessing of Lyman Johnson was in the name of Jesus, that no power of the enemy shall prevent him from going forth and doing the work of the Lord, and he shall live until the gathering is accomplished. So the man wasn't going to die until everyone was gathered for the harvest that Jesus talked about. I guess I could go on and on about all these prophecies that Joseph Smith made. He made a lot of them. They just didn't come true, but yet everybody still believes every word he said. Mind-boggling sometimes, isn't it? How we can worship man, how we can worship baseball teams and football teams and church buildings and church denominations. We can worship all of those things more than we worship God, the holy God. I'm just amazed at how ignorant people can be, how gullible people can be. They'll go to a baseball game and they'll cheer until they're hoarse and they can't even make another sound, cheering on their home team, won't even utter a sound in church to say, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. You never hear it out of them. It's embarrassing. Why? Somebody's going to think you're crazy. Stand up and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What do you when do you thank Jesus? Never? People, it's time to wake up. Quit following man. Quit following Joseph Smith. Mormon people out there, believers in the Mormons, listen to me. You're wrong. You've got to get to the Bible, the Holy Bible. Leave your other scriptures alone, the Book of Mormon and everything, and get to the Holy Bible and read it. Find out who Jesus Christ truly, truly is, who he was, who he is still today. We're out of time again. We'll see you tomorrow. We started to talk about it today, didn't get to it, but we're going to discuss the lifestyle and what's the draw of the Mormon religion. Visit www.forgottenword.org. Thank you. God bless you. See you tomorrow.